knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, I was going to have no bright spot.
You were
going to
have no bright spot.
I was going to tell you that I have a dark spot.
You have a dark spot.
I was going to point at you and say that it was me.
Yep.
And it was going to be because I ordered Culver's again.
Oh.
And I got another concrete.
Of course you did. You had to.
I got the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one.
All right.
It's so good.
Oh, it's also good.
Yeah, because here's what happens with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah.
The texture of the cereal
retains. Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, and that stays even within the shake concrete thing.
Yeah.
But the cinnamon on the outside becomes absorbed by the ice cream.
Right.
So now you've got like a horchata ice cream with a little texture. It's great.
Yeah.
So I was going to shame myself for that.
Sure.
But right before we started recording, we got a zip in the mailbag. We got a little bit of a package. And I'd like to say thank you to Carl from Big Jam, J-A-L-M, Big Jam, the L apparently, I see on the side, L is for love.
Oh, I get it.
They sent a lot of mini jams.
Yes, they did.
And I'm very excited to try some of these. There's one that's a habanero apricot, and what's the strawberry one?
Thai strawberry. Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Ooh.
That sounds very, very good.
Yeah, so there are, 12 different jams here, and I can't tell you how tickled my brain is. I'm so thrilled to try some of these.
There's so many cool flavors.
Mm?
It's just great. It's just great whenever somebody who's tinkering around makes some shit and then sends it to you. It's fantastic.
You almost feel like there's a mad scientist-y
absolutely
kind of vibe with a little berry.
Absolutely.
Just cutting it open, seeing what makes a rhubarb tick.
It feels like somebody somewhere has a cauldron and there's trouble a-brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we also learned that Marion Barry is a berry. That's exciting.
That was exciting.
Thank you, Carl. I'm really excited to try these, and I'm sure a lot of them are going to be great, and the ones that aren't are great, and I just don't like them.
Yeah.
Because I'm a weird food guy.
That's one of the great things about stuff like that, where it's like, you know what? I'm sure this tastes great. It has nothing to do with you. This is all, I just don't like this texture. That's it. You guys are great. I'm not, we'll just not meet. That's fine.
I assume that about a lot of foods.
Yeah.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is today, as you're listening to this, if you are past 10 Pacific time, you are available to buy tickets to our live show.
I realized that on our last episode, we mentioned that there was a second show.
We
didn't say anything about when tickets were available, if they were available, where to get them.
Yep.
We're dumb. We're bad.
We're not good at this.
Yeah. So they're available now.
They are available now.
As of 10 Pacific
time. Yes.
A.M.
A.M. You can get them from the Aladdin Theater website.
There'll be a link in the description of this episode, and folks can,
same everything, nothing's changed, everybody get a ticket.
Same everything except the date.
Exactly.
Thursday
the 18th.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'll be fun, I'm glad that we decided to loop back and tell people how to
take
part in this.
We like a good ambush show as much as the next guy, but maybe we should sell some tickets first.
It's more that we were confusing people, I think.
Probably.
Well, today, Jordan, we have an episode to go over.
All right.
We're going to be talking a little bit about September 11th, the day that we live in infamy, 2025. Alex is, of course, a piece of shit.
Naturally.
And Charlie Kirk has just been murdered.
Right.
So we'll check in on how all these dynamics are playing out. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new walks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Jack would like to shout out to Solitary Knight, an awesome LGBTQ positive Twitch and Facebook streamer who plays odd and uncommon and goofy video games. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Did they ever make a goofy video game? Like the character goofy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a goofy one to try. Come on. You were holding back a laugh.
I was holding back. I was holding back.
Next, Michael, you make my life dreamy creamy. I love you so much and hope we can rise above our enemies for years to come. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And hey, Dan, I can't get in touch with Alex. Could you check on Gene Hackman tonight? It's urgent. Thanks, God. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, ooh, Jordan. So thank you so much to my amazing wife, Fen. Happy second anniversary. Here's to many more years and adventures together with our little ham, roaming the world and listening to Knowledge Fight. Love you always, Maney. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Today's episode might be on the shorter side of things. Alex took off on the 11th. He left. He had business, though.
No, I mean,
we'll get to that.
Right.
Last we left off, Charlie Kirk had been shot and killed at a speaking event he was holding at the campus of Utah Valley University. Mm. Alex had exploitatively aired the video of the shooting on a loop and had vowed to do his own college tour in Charlie's honor mere hours after it had come out that he had died.
Beautiful.
No one had any information about the shooter at that point, but it was reported confidently that this was a leftist assassin from Antifa and that the shooting was part of the Podesta revolutionary plan that was crafted in 2020 but was put on the shelf for 4 years because Trump lost that election, so there was no need for revolution.
Right.
It was all a disgusting display, but nothing too surprising to see from Alex's show. When we recorded our last episode, we didn't know anything about who the shooter could be either, and I tried to be pretty clear about how it was unwise to jump to any conclusions. The person could easily have been someone motivated by left-leaning political ideology who hated Charlie, but Charlie had a lot of enemies on the far right as well. Someone from that world could have killed him, or the killer could have even been apolitical in their motivation. I pushed back on Alex's assertions that it was a leftist shooter, not because I know that to be incorrect, but because I know that Alex is making that accusation baselessly, and it's the kind of response that he embodies does nobody any good and can only cause trouble. Now that we're here and a little more information is known about the shooting, details are still a bit sketchy. A 22-year-old man named Tyler Robinson has been arrested for the shooting, having allegedly confessed to his dad, who then was involved in helping turn him into authorities. It appears that Robinson's father was torn about what he should do once he figured out that his son was the one who had committed the murder, so he consulted with his church leader. Should he turn in his son to face a possible death sentence or stay silent about his son's guilt in order to save his life? It was a moral dilemma that the dad faced, and it turns out that the church does not have a no-snitching policy.
I was going to say, I feel like just by doing that, you have already decided which one you're going to do.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I do think if you were thrust into that situation, it might be good to seek counsel of some kind.
I agree.
But I think if you're going to talk to somebody like a priest, you're hoping that they'll take the responsibility off your shoulders.
That would kind of be the idea.
I feel like you're begging someone else to, look, I don't want to turn in my son. Can you please do it?
Yeah, especially if you're, I mean, it's not like a confessional. It's not like you're like, hey, we both agree nothing leaves this room kind of situation.
And I think even then, you know,
confessionals are still like, we report murders.
Yeah.
You can't, yeah. We don't absolve murders totally.
Unless the church has a no snitching policy.
Which, I mean, there are probably churches, but we don't know about them for obvious reasons.
No one talks.
Snitching. Exactly.
So law enforcement has identified Robinson and also released information about messages that he'd allegedly written on the bullet casings. In the case of the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO with Luigi Mangione, there were messages inscribed on the bullet saying delay, deny, and depose. The meaning of these words were clear, as they described the strategy that insurance companies use to avoid having to pay for people's medical care. Without endorsing anything that he did, these words being put on the bullets represents a coherent political message that could explain the killing. In this case, the messages that were on the bullets were essentially shit posts, and they don't really point to any definite ideology.
Mm.
One said, quote, "Hey, fascist, catch," then arrows indicating up, right, down, down, down. This is, there's an instinct to say that this is an indication of, like, some anti-fascist tendencies on the part of the shooter, but this is just a reference to the video game Helldivers 2.
Sure.
The messages that were inscribed on the bullets don't point to a coherent motive, but point to a familiarity with being too online.
Mm.
These were jokes that have an irony to them, and anybody taking them literally or at face value is not on the right track with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't look at this without sort of decoding it through online culture.
Anytime I have read anything about this, my first instinct was like, none of the people writing about this should be allowed to write about this. There is a culture that understands what is going on, and we are not part of that culture.
Yeah.
And the people trying to translate it to me are not part of that culture either, and they're not doing a good job.
Yeah, and far be it for me to say that I'm, drenched in this culture.
Sure.
I don't fully understand a whole lot of the way too online irony that people engage in.
Not even a little bit.
But I see another language when it's being spoken.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, anytime back in the past, and I'm talking about the past before the QAnon, anytime something from 4chan leaked out, it was like, guys, don't get near it. You'll never understand.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for you. Just let it be in its space.
And now there's just a million different versions of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yep.
So while it doesn't indicate whether he was on the left or the right politically, this sends a clear message that the shooter is not a sincere communicator and that he was likely a person who came of age surrounded by shitty internet irony.
Mm.
As it stands, I still don't know enough to have strong feelings about the motive of the crime. I think a lot of people want to jump to conclusions that he's a leftist or that he's a Nick Fuentes fan. And while all of these things are possible, I don't see anything concrete about it as of the time that we're recording.
I mean, to a certain extent, it's almost a I suppose I would say it's something new. It's a shot from somewhere that we're not familiar with. This isn't the left or the right. This is a whole culture.
The only thing I would push back on that is that it's fully new. I think we've seen a fair amount years.
Yeah, absolutely. I just mean, like, in terms of our paradigm of how to classify this, this doesn't fit into what we would use 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
This is of the now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a shifting of, like, the understanding of motivations
yeah.
that we need to
absolutely
we need to take into account.
Political ideology is far more fractured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex, you know, he left his show on Wednesday.
Right.
And then came back and yelled a little bit over Harrison.
What a great guy.
And then did his special report.
Yep.
And now here on the 11th, Alex starts off the show and just pointing some fingers.
Mm.
Tomorrow's news, today.
Witnesses are now reporting. Multiple witnesses have told police, they've done interviews, that they saw the people come and claim they were going to talk about one thing, and they did. And the people asking the questions kept looking back at the roof. Then they started celebrating. This was organized. There were people online in the town saying he's dead tomorrow. This is sick. This is a real cult that believes it owns our children. It's all financed by the globalists. And we have hours of celebration on the internet under different hashtags we'll be giving you. Hundreds and hundreds of people, mainly school teachers and lawyers and doctors, saying, good, now kill Trump. Kill, 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 kill.
Of everybody else, I got this shit.
Charlie Kirk was a fucking Nazi. He was a fucking Nazi. And you know what kind of Nazi is the best Nazi? A dead one.
So Alex is pitching a story here that involves people debating Charlie Kirk being in on the murder, which seems wildly unlikely.
Hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what the selection process is for the guest debaters at these events, but if more than one of the people who got through in the time they had before the shooting were conspirators, that indicates really bad event management.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't seem to benefit anyone to have conspirators be involved in debating Kirk while the murderer gets his shot ready. Kirk was going to be sitting in the same spot arguing, regardless of who picked up the mic to debate him. If what Alex is saying is correct and the people were constantly looking toward the roof where the shooter was, that would only hurt the conspiracy's chance of being successful.
Yeah.
It feels like anyone who were actually planning something like this wouldn't plant people to debate Kirk because there's no upside and a bunch of risks.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled that Alex is upset about people posting distasteful stuff on social media, but it's just hard to take his angle on this seriously. I thought free speech was back, and as far as the Constitution is concerned, there's nothing illegal about saying that you're glad someone's dead and that you hope someone else gets killed. It might be unhealthy for public discourse to be at a point where that kind of thing is as normal as it is, but that's not the conversation Alex is having. And if it were, then we might find some agreement that, like, yeah, it sucks that this is the way people act now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not his point.
I mean, whatever happened to fuck your feelings? You know, I'm tired because I lived through the time where they got to yell about it from one side, and now I'm living through the time where they're trying to yell about it from the other side, and I didn't move.
No.
I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's jarring.
Yeah, I'm sitting here.
And incidentally, Pete Hegseth, Trump's Secretary of Defense, or maybe War now, I'm not sure, has said that people will be fired if they have been found to have tweeted negative things about Kirk in the wake of his death. And that's not just something that's happening at the Pentagon. NPR reported on 33 cases of people who were fired because they posted something that was seen as celebrating Kirk's death on social media. I don't see firing people for making these kinds of posts as some kind of horrible violation of free speech rights, but Alex definitely should.
Mm-hmm.
He's always championed people who faced social consequences for doing something racist, and he's always been able to pretend that he's only doing that out of concern for the precedent that it would set about chilling free speech.
Right.
I only know who Count Dankula is because Alex had him on a bunch because he lost his job after posting a video of him teaching his dog to do a Nazi salute. If Alex took any of the shit he said seriously, he would need to be defending these people who are getting fired for tweeting jokes about Kirk, and the fact that he's not should make it pretty clear that in the past, he wasn't interested in defending free speech. He just wanted to help create a world where racists don't have to fear any consequences for their racism.
Mm.
This is cancel culture, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe not.
Well, see, the thing is, what we wanted to do, now, you thought, oh, we're worried about being canceling. No, what we wanted to do was get all the way on the other side, where we get to do the canceling. That was the problem.
Right.
That was where that's where it all went wrong. Like, I would say something like, the F slur, and then I would get in trouble, but now I can hit people.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It's just, obviously these are some things that were fairly obvious in Alex in the past.
Sure.
But if people can't see through it now, that's on you. You can't see what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of something Douglas Adams said about the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation or something, where it's like the superficial design flaws are so frustrating they mask the fundamental design flaws, which was like, that feels like what was going. We were so focused on the superficial shit, we haven't been able to really process how fundamentally bullshit this has always been.
Yeah, and I think that we've had some indications and some, like, I'm pretty sure this is all total bullshit.
Yeah,
but now all of the principles are violated.
It's gotta be.
Everything is bullshit.
If you can't see it now, it's on you.
Yeah. So, Alex obviously wants to make this about himself.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does.
All right, I have predicted every bit of this with total precision because John Podesta wrote a battle plan for it. If Trump won in 2020, they were able to steal it. They announced they were implementing it on November 5th, last year. The No Kings, the assassinations, the killings, the attacks on Catholic churches and churches. I'm getting chills right now. And, of course, I got swatted last night. But really, it just adds security to the house. I'm friends with the deputies. They sometimes come over and have a coffee. They're at the house once a week, pretty much. I got home about 8 o'clock. Saw one parked across the road. Pulled in. Pull up. They scan the lights. Everything all right, Alex? Yeah, everybody's inside. Everything's good. Yeah, did you get another fake call? Yeah. Have a good night. We'll be around.
That's not a squatting, and Alex seems very desperate to make himself the victim in someone else's murder.
Mm.
It would be so funny if someone just directly demanded Alex produce the Podesta plan. He talks about it like it's a very real and specific thing, so it should be no problem for him to send a copy to the news or anything.
Yeah.
The Podesta battle plan is a great prop for Alex, primarily because it's not real. The Transition Integrity Project put out a 22-page paper on August 3rd, 2020, titled Preventing a Disrupted Presidential Election and Transition, and Alex has just made up a bunch of fun bullshit about it.
That's nice.
John Podesta was a participant in the scenario exercises that they ran, but he wasn't in charge of the group. Alex has just labeled it the Podesta plan because the audience already knows Podesta from Pizzagate, so it's easier just to say it's all him.
Yeah.
If Alex said this was the Rosa Brooks plan or the Nils Gilman plan, it wouldn't evoke all the scary associations of child trafficking at Comet Ping Pong.
Snooze.
Right.
Who are those people? Don't care.
Well, yeah, Podesta's a villain that's already been built.
He's established.
Yeah. So I just, I don't know. It was a dud.
I do appreciate the echoes of how stupid things can be, that being from another bullshit conspiracy that didn't make any sense from the past just makes you like in a voting reality show game where, like, if you get voted out on the first day, everybody's like, well, we're voting you out again. Like, you're just socially, it's okay for us to pick on you.
Yeah.
Right.
We've already got some baggage.
Exactly.
It's like how Soros can be slotted into, like, literally every conspiracy because the audience has a dun-dun feeling about discovering that he's behind something.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's a cheap trick.
It's soap opera shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that's so great about this prop that Alex has is that he can make it say anything.
Yeah.
The Podesta plan involves shooting Charlie Kirk? What the fuck are you talking about?
When?
The Transition Integrity Project lays this out? What the fuck are you talking about?
At what point while they're writing that are they going, maybe we shouldn't put this in paper.
Mm-hmm.
The plan to assassinate a guy, maybe we should just, we could keep the oral history.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about this one.
Yeah, let's not press release this one.
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really don't think that Alex got swatted. But regardless, that making it about himself isn't quite enough. So he's got to talk about how good of a shooter he is.
Oh, God.
I've got to really hand it to
don't do that.
Q. And I'm not talking about Q the online thing. I'm talking about a highly decorated Army veteran friend of mine who used to head up my security. He called me out of country running a mission about 30 minutes before Trump officially announced that Kirk was dead. They wanted to talk to his family first. He said no. He was shot from the roof with a high-powered rifle. And Quentin is so smart, and I'll see if I can get him on. He said he'd come on yesterday. When I called back, he didn't answer because he was in operations. But he said he was going into a zone. He couldn't use his phone. I'm not going to say where he's at.
No
but
phone
he
zone.
Said, it's a 30-odd six. I can tell by the sound of the gun. I mean, that's how good his ears are for what different gun, different rifles sound like. He said, bolt action, 30-odd six would be his guess. And that's what it is. So... And yeah, if you want an accurate gun, that's a good one right there. People saying that this would have to be a professional to shoot somebody at 200 yards in the neck. You could train a 10-year-old with a 308 to shoot bullseye at 100 yards in an hour. By the time I was 14, I could shoot at 100 yards through the same hole over and over again with a three-power scope. Now with the new stuff, I mean, I've shot mountain goats 800 yards dead center in the throat when they pop their head up. And I'm not as good as some of these military shooters, though I go out and shoot with them. I'm about average for special operations type people, you know, in the grade of my shooting. But the point is, my daughters are basically as good a shot as I am.
I get it. You're good at shooting.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you a cool and cool person.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I think this point is fully illustrated by saying it's not that impressive of a shot.
Yep.
You don't have to talk about how you're about as good as all the best marksmen in special operations,
sure.
And also you've trained your daughter.
Well, the only
as well
reason
as them.
You know, Q talks to me is because we're both so good at shooting.
Right.
Like, I know he's active duty and he's in the no phone zone
fighting. The no phone zone.
Right. But, you know, I'm just an amateur, the greatest there ever was. Mm-hmm. So, no big deal.
Some people, like, legit are just born with it.
Yeah.
And what are you going
to
do?
And to be clear, I'm a better shooter than this assassin.
And also, I'm better than my daughter.
And also, I'm more important than Charlie Kirk. Jesus Christ. What a piece of shit.
Total piece of shit. Shocking, outrageous piece of shit.
I was like, what's an exaggerated thing I could say? And it was like, no, he probably thinks that too. I bet he 100% would say right now, well, Charlie Kirk didn't mean anything.
How can I discuss this guy and not be super disrespectful, but also be super disrespectful?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I'm a great shot.
I'm really,
I could have done that.
I could have killed three of him. You could have lined him up behind another one of him, and I still could have shot that guy. That's how good I am.
It's fucked up.
Crazy.
So the shooting has all the earmarks of a staged event.
A false flag?
Not really, no. Okay. Just an elaborate conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
There are so many angles here. There are all these witnesses on local news, and you can see it in the videos happening, that people were chanting in the crowd, kill Charlie Kirk.
I feel like Charlie, they weren't.
Kirk. Kill Charlie Kirk. And you can hear it in the audio. There's lots of talking and yelling. And you're like, kill Charlie Kirk. Kill. And then this questioner gets up and says they're going to bring up one topic. They come up and say, this is what I want to talk about. They bring them up and they go, I want to talk about trans shooters. And then the witnesses report, the people step back, and then a lot of people in the crowd start turning around and looking, going, look, look, and boom, right there. Like it was a Shakespearean stage, this happens, and the witnesses are like, this was staged. Because, I mean, the word was out on the local liberal trans news, like, he's dead tomorrow.
Well, whose news? Whose news?
Tomorrow. It's over. He's going to dissolve tomorrow. I have all the tweets, the posts, all of it right here. And they're like, yeah, great. They're turning back. Great job. People are like, hey, there's a guy on the roof.
I don't know what kind of trans news networks Alex is talking about, but if he was able to find all this chatter that illustrates pre-planning of the shooting, then two things have to be true. One, we should be seeing tons and tons of arrests of people involved in the conspiracy by this point.
Right.
And two, Charlie Kirk's security team should have flagged this in advance.
Yep.
It's kind of, it almost becomes too obvious.
Yeah.
And Alex, as the big stand down conspiracy guy, maybe right, should be suspicious.
Seems like if what you're saying is true, then a bunch of people were openly planning an assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I mean, historically speaking, when a bunch of people openly plan an assassination, we have a lot of evidence from, you know, their planning.
Yeah.
Like, say, January 6th. Mm. You think of a time whenever you would look into it and you might see text messages from person to person saying,
sure,
let's go overthrow the government.
Planning, you know? Meetings, leadership, exactly. Hierarchies.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also, in order for any of this stuff to be true, then the person who is debating Kirk when he was shot has to be in on it.
Yeah.
Based on what Alex is saying, that is totally the case. Because if not, if that's not what he's implying, there's no reason to say any of this stuff.
Right.
It's just necessary.
Right.
This person is a guy named Hunter Kozak, who's since publicly discussed his experience. I know that Alex can just casually accuse random people of being involved in murder plots and there aren't any consequences, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop pointing out how horrible and dangerous this behavior is.
Yeah.
And sure, if people were chanting kill Charlie Kirk at his event, that's not good. But it's also ridiculous to think that that would be connected to any actual murder planning.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound callous or anything, but in pro wrestling, there's a famous story that The Rock, he ended up turning heel because he was trying to play a good guy and the crowd hated him. They would chant, die, Rocky, die, when he came out, and the bosses realized that the audience wasn't connecting with The Rock as a hero, but they might respond to him as a villain. Pro wrestling isn't about good conquering evil or evil conquering good, even. It's about slotting people into good and evil characters to maximize the audience engagement and investment in them to tell quality stories and sell merch. The media ecosystem that Charlie Kirk thrived in operates pretty similarly. He's a good guy to the folks on his side, but he really only occupies that space because he's a villain to the other side. His fans hate the left, and he basks in the negative attention that he gets from the left in order to play up the image that he's a villain to them, which makes him a hero to his side.
Right.
What I'm saying is that if I were Charlie, I would love hearing Kill Charlie Kirk chanted at one of my rallies. The fact that these people who his audience hates would hate Charlie so much validates the idea that he's an important hero for them, and without those optics, this whole brand falls apart pretty quick. I mean, like, how much can you do a prove-me-wrong debate if the people who you want to yell at you don't show up?
Yeah.
You know, like it requires this antagonism in order for it to exist.
Yeah, you have to be a character that people love to hate, on top of being a character that the hateful people love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of the combination.
And the people who are coming and chanting "Kill Charlie Kirk" are, I mean, I'm not saying that they like Charlie, but there is an element of it that they're like, they want to engage as the voice that's chanting that.
Yeah.
It's not a love to hate, but it kind of is.
Well, I mean, there's just a certain part of it. You know, when you say love to hate, it's not a pleasure to hate so much as it is like well, it's not a coincidence that Tucker Carlson's voice is also so fucking annoying that it gets inside your head. Of course they like him more because you hate him more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the combination of the two.
Yeah, their political ideology is largely based on triggering the libs and making everyone mad.
Yep.
And, like, he's really good at making people mad.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, like, someone chanting horrible shit is proof of concept.
Yep.
So, absolutely. I don't know. I think that there's something that is so wrong about the way that has that's just what their world is.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to exist as a stable thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can yell horrible shit at a wrestling show because it's kayfabe.
Yeah.
It's a fake world. No one's actually going to attack this person.
Yep.
But that kind of behavior, once it's in the real world, like, there's no kayfabe there. Shit happens.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
There are consequences in the real world. That's why we invented the fake world, so we could keep that shit there and still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea. Don't bring it into the real world, you idiots.
No. It's effective. That's why wrestling is popular.
Right.
It's cathartic, and people really enjoy it.
That's the idea.
Yeah, but it only really works when there's not human stakes attached to it.
Bunch of dicks.
So I told you that Alex was going to leave.
Yeah.
And that's because he has secret missions to go on.
Law stuff.
I wasn't going to be here today because I have multiple missions that are critical to the Republic. So I'm leaving a little bit later. I'll leave it at that. But I will be doing work from the road. And I will be in multiple locations on the East and West Coast in the next 3 days. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But things are coming to a head. And it has been recognized by folks in the administration that we have the best analysis of what's going on and what's going to happen next and how to counter them. So I will be consulting with different organizations and groups in the next 3 days. So I will not be fishing when you don't see me here.
So Alex went to D.C. And he met with Ed Martin.
Okay.
Martin was Trump's initial nominee for U.S. attorney for D.C., but the Senate made it clear that they weren't going to approve this appointment. So Trump withdrew Martin and appointed Fox News host Jeanine Pirro.
So this guy was crazier. Okay.
Than Jeanine Pirro.
All right. So that's where our benchmark is.
It's got to sting a little bit.
That has got to sting.
Because you have to know that, like, there's no standards, and you don't meet them.
And you're still zero.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Martin landed on his feet, and he took a role as the pardon attorney for the Department of Justice, spearheading what Alex likes to call the weaponization task force that's supposedly investigating DOJ weaponization against people who were too loyal to Trump.
Right. I like the opposite of a retribution squad. I'm president of the pardon squad. We're just going to let everybody go.
Well, no.
Nope.
No. Because the pardon squad is about investigating Biden's pardons.
Right, exactly.
So it's about removing pardons.
It's once again a retribution squad.
Yes,
yeah.
Quite.
Yep.
So what's going on here is essentially that Alex is desperately trying to beg for the Supreme Court to overturn his
cases. Right. Yeah.
And so he's going to lobby, basically, to Ed Martin and whoever will listen to him in D.C.
Great.
I have no idea why he's going to the West Coast, though. My gut was going to be like he's going to go be on a podcast, but it feels like all the big podcasts he would be on are hosted by people who followed Rogan to Austin.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't need to go to the West Coast.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have no idea, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Maybe he's looking at investors. Maybe he's trying to find somebody to buy it.
Who?
Hey, listen, I'm not going to the West Coast. I don't know anybody on the West Coast who might buy it. He's the one going, so maybe he knows. There are rich people.
Yeah, but I think that anybody who's, you know, going to be in the conversation to put up that kind of money to buy this would recognize how dull an investment it is. Anybody else could just start their own supplement labeling company.
All right, I've got a new plan, okay? Now, this is news that you don't keep up with, but my friend Kawhi Leonard, all right, he was signed to the Clippers, and they just found out that he got a no-show endorsement deal from just some random company for $25 million outside of the pay package that he had from the Clippers. But this company, does it exist? Probably not.
Mm.
So it was used as a way to give him a bonus because the NBA has a hard salary cap.
Okay.
Right? So this is all part of it.
So Alex is the bag man?
Alex is going to exchange the money from a fake company set up by Steve Ballmer, owner of the Clippers, and this is how it's going to work. That's how we pay Kawhi Leonard and own InfoWars and keep the Clippers as a medium level of organization.
And Charlie Kirk was onto this, and that's why he had to die.
It all makes sense.
It almost makes too much sense. So I will track this as time goes on, yeah. But I do think that it's worth noting that Chase comes in to fill in for Alex on the main show.
Wow.
Chase doesn't even work there anymore, and he's still higher in the batting order than Harrison.
Isn't he in Arkansas?
He came back.
He came back? After Owen left, he came back?
Well, I don't think he came back like on a permanent basis,
but I
think he stepped in because Charlie Kirk died, and
Jesus
Alex needed some
Christ.
Backup.
That's... That Chase.
Hey, Brendan, I got to go talk to the Supreme Court.
Every time I get out, they pull me back in.
Brendan, I have to go.
You want
to
see a dead body?
I have to go lobby the highest court in the land to try and get away with slandering people's dead relatives.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
So he's back in the saddle a little bit, but yep. I don't think it's a permanent thing.
Mm.
Unless, like, Alex... like incarcerates him somehow.
I mean, just the more this happens, the more I feel like we're inching closer and closer to the weirdest possible future where Chase owns all of InfoWars because he's accidentally signed so many papers that they just default go back to him. And then he's like, well, if I own it, I might as well do it. And he just becomes the new InfoWars by himself.
Well, I mean, you know, what you're discussing might not be a total accident. This could be craft.
Do you think Chase is Kaiser Soze-ing all of us?
It's possible.
Are we getting Chaser Soze-ed?
It's possible. He's positioned himself in a really unique, weird place.
It is a really unique place.
Where his name is on the documents for the Alex Jones Network.
Yep.
Their only sponsor is Bigly, and
yep.
Now he works for them.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know. He's put himself in a place where Alex can't squeeze him out.
Yeah. Is this like a
hostile takeover?
This is a Michael J. Fox in the 80s movie where somehow at the end he's the top of the corporation. This is what we're dealing with, right?
I think so. And if so, ugh.
I mean, I suppose it could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the left is going to rise, and they're going to take out cops. They're going to take out everybody.
I strongly doubt that.
Well, Alex is saying it's going to happen,
okay.
And Podesta warned us.
And so they're going to hit police. When they hit, they're going to hit the police. They're going to hit everybody. I mean, I can tell you, I'm not in my house. This is the point. Out. Gone. For the foreseeable future. Bye-bye. This is when I've never left. This morning, I'm like, we're out. So, this is it. They're going to do it. And now you know why Trump's trying to get you ready for the military and the rest of it. Because Podesta said, we put the compilation of articles up.
What?
They're going to have the blue states secede in cities. They're going to call it all racial. And they're going to trigger a civil war. That was 4.5, almost 5 years ago. It was actually 5 years ago, August of 2020. And they said, we're going to do the plan again. And I keep repeating that because there's the plan. I've literally had the White House, and all people go, really, where's the Democrat plan for that? I'm like, you don't know? Some do. The Pentagon knows. I know the FBI knows. But even at the White House, they're not taking it seriously enough.
Yeah, they shouldn't. So this would be a totally fine angle for any other right-wing radio host to have. But with the career that Alex has had, he can't do shit like this.
No.
He's saying that the left is super scary and planning all these crimes and unrest, which Trump is going to have to put down with the military. Because Trump knows that this is right around the corner, he's starting to use the military for domestic policing, so citizens get used to the idea of military police. That's fun and all, but this is exactly what Alex has always said the globalists do. I can't count the number of times he's used the analogy of a frog in a pot of water and how if the heat goes up gradually, you don't notice. Humans have a normalcy bias. These are the things that he talks about all the time. Alex is describing Trump using psychological tricks, that he's been very clear a tyrannical strategy to ease the population into slavery, and he's in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
Other talk show hosts could probably get away with pretending to be ignorant of these dynamics, but this is a cornerstone of Alex's worldview, so you really have to be delusional to not get that he understands what he's doing. The difference is just that Alex supports this police state. In the same way that he would support the police state in the 50s and 60s that tried to put down the civil rights movement. When there's a world order that's trending towards liberalism, the state is the greatest evil imaginable. But when the powers that be start prioritizing inequality, that calculation changes. It can change because he was never against tyranny or state oppression to begin with. He just wanted it not to threaten him and groups he feels like he's a part of. Through his formative years, Alex's dad was a John Birch Society idiot, so he was raised with a lot of those influences. And then, when he was becoming an adult, the militia movement of the 90s was in full swing. Ruby Ridge and Waco happened, which solidified an impression that the state was targeting white Christian separatists, which was topped off by the OKC bombing, a clear false flag meant to convince everyone that white Christian separatists were a legitimate threat. And Alex has lived in that mode for his whole life. Everything is in conversation with this feeling. Bush did 9/11 in order to start a war and demonize foreign terrorists, but the end goal was really using the expanded powers they gained in order to fight those terrorists against white Christian separatists. All of the false flag mass shootings that have been done to erode the Second Amendment, all of that is just an attack on white Christian separatists because they love their guns and might need them to overthrow the country at some point.
Right.
Everything that seemed important to Alex on a conceptual level really hasn't been important at all, and it's plain to see all that stuff slipping away now. Conspiracy and false flag accusations are a tool, and Alex's recent actions help illustrate how this is really all it's ever been. The power structure is now clearly on the side of white Christian separatists, so instead of using conspiracies and accusations of false flags to attack the power structure, Alex is using them to bolster the power structure. Alex is saying that Trump is using federal troops as police in order to acclimate the population to the sight of military on the streets, and the justification is that he needs to do that because the left is planning all these horrible attacks that need to be stopped. So from that, we can say that it's possible for an incoming threat to necessitate a president to use the military as domestic police, an act that violates a fundamental part of the Constitution for Alex. There is an example case where that is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, then it's pretty simple to say that Bush should have been able to use military as police if he felt that terrorists posed a big enough imminent threat. Obama should have been able to use the military as police if he thought that domestic extremists posed a big enough threat. If it's possible that a potential future threat justifies despotism, then the only variable that matters is what the president considers a future threat. And that can be an acceptable argument for someone to have. I would expect that a lot of the right wing during Bush's presidency would argue that sometimes protecting against extreme threats requires curtailing rights.
I recall them saying it explicitly.
Yeah. I'm not saying that you can't make that argument.
Sure.
But Alex can't.
Alex can't.
It is counter to the DNA of what he's built over the last 30 years. And to see him saying that kind of shit is just like, that's like me starting a supplement business. It's fucking out of line.
I mean, if you believe anything that you've ever said, then the moment you say like, oh, Trump did this because of a threat he sees coming, then you have to then make the next step, which is, oh, well, Trump is the creator of this threat. He's creating the threat in order to do... That's your whole life.
That's literally how it's been since fucking Napoleon.
Right?
Everything.
Everything.
In the world has always been this.
It, I mean, you should even say, like, your big thing is qui bono. He's bringing it a who benefit. So, of course, he's the one creating the threat. It's not the left. It is Trump. That's your definition of how things work.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution.
Exactly.
That whole ideology is completely out the window when it is convenient.
Yep.
It's fucking garbage.
It is so frustrating.
Mm.
It is frustrating.
Yeah. I you know, you just hear stuff like this, and it's just, I feel for people who could possibly still listen to Alex and think he cares about anything.
Yeah, because the general idea behind belief systems is it's very helpful to kind of predict later on what somebody's going to do in given situations. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, belief systems are just social clubs. They're just a place to get around and to be with people. And you say similar stuff to each other, so you create that bond, right? But then you choose that belief system because when you need to do something about it, that's when you go, oh, I rely on the Bible. I would do this blank thing, but I'm going to do what the Bible says. That's my belief system.
Sure.
Right? Whenever you realize that you were just, they were just there, the Bible had nothing to do with it. You know, it was nothing. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, oh, well, then what am I supposed to believe ever?
Yeah.
You know?
And like, when you make a belief system that's based around some kind of virtue mm-hmm. and shit, it's like, okay, I'm great because I'm not killing someone right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But like, if I then am in a position where I can kill somebody and maybe it's advantageous for me to do so.
Yep.
And I do it, then I never really believed the killing was wrong.
No, you didn't.
I just wasn't in the position to kill.
I didn't have to. I didn't have the opportunity.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the truth about Alex.
Yep. Yep. It's just for so many people, it has nothing to do with opportunity. But for some people, it is just like, the only reason I'm not committing crimes right now is because they are not directly in front of me to commit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I can't steal. There's no store here.
Yeah, exactly. I would, but there isn't.
But stealing is so wrong.
It's
and
so
I would
wrong.
Never do it.
So wrong.
So look, the real issue, though, is the Dems. They're so disrespectful.
Obviously.
So disrespectful.
Obviously.
They mean business. And then Newsom was in a podcast last night. He said, no, even though this happened, we need to just punch him in the face. And Pocahontas said, nope, I'm not going to call for dialing back our rhetoric. And they wouldn't even be quiet for a moment of prayer in the Congress and just booed and yelled during it. Got all that?
So on the day of the shooting, Elizabeth Warren posted that she was praying for Charlie and said, quote, political violence has no place in our country. It's never okay. However, right-wing dipshits like the hosts on Fox News immediately started running with the narrative that Democratic rhetoric was to blame for the shooting because all the Dems are so violent with their speech.
Sure.
Because Fox was covering the news from this angle, it led a reporter to ask Warren about this position, and she said, quote, oh, please, why don't you start with the President of the United States, right?
Right.
Fox News' spin on the story created an opportunity to trap Warren in a situation where no matter what she says, it plays into Fox's narrative. If she responds like this, they can say that she refuses to take responsibility for the violent rhetoric of the left. If she's conciliatory and says that both sides are heated, they can say that she admitted that the left is too violent. This is a game, and even when someone like Elizabeth Warren goes out of her way to be polite and respectful, it doesn't matter.
No.
People are shitheads who are just going to lie about you.
Yep.
As for the prayer in Congress thing, Alex is lying about that. The House observed a moment of silence in Charlie's honor that was respected by even the evil Democrats. After the moment of silence ended, Republican Representative Lauren Boebert protested that, quote, silent prayers get silent results, and demanded that the House let a verbal prayer be said. Saying an impromptu verbal prayer isn't allowed by House rules, so she was essentially asking for special privileges.
Sure.
And, you know, that's what caused the problem. She was demanding things that they can't allow her to do.
I mean, listen. Sometimes you just need a divorce, you know? Sometimes you just need a divorce.
Mm. So someone yelled, quote, what about the kids in Colorado? In reference to the Evergreen High School shooting that also had happened that day.
Jesus Christ.
Naturally, this was a bit humiliating for Boebert since he represents Colorado in the House. So fellow Republican and former Turning Point USA employee Anna Paulina Luna came to her defense saying, quote, you all caused this. Order broke down a little bit, and Speaker Mike Johnson struggled to get the House back on track, despite doing a lot of shushing and gavel work.
Yeah.
But finally, they did come back into the center. This is, like the Fox News coverage with Elizabeth Warren, a trap. Lauren Boebert is a U.S. representative, so she should know the rules and be aware that she can't just say a verbal prayer on the House floor whenever she wants. But by making that demand and having the other members of the House grumble and shoot her down, the story is no longer that Boebert made an inappropriate request. It's that the Democrats yelled over Charlie Kirk's moment of silence. That isn't true. And no matter how anyone reacted in this situation, the babies get their way.
Yep.
And it's important to understand how much of their strategy is based on that.
Yeah.
That, like, they are trap builders.
Yeah. It's important to remember that the guy who got his ass beat by a cane in Congress was really not a fan of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who beat his ass, huge fan of slavery.
I was watching the video of this whole thing go down.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I had heard about it from, like, Alex and seen maybe a tweet or two or something.
Yeah.
And the sense that I got was that this all happened during the moment of silence. And I was shocked to go watch it and see the moment of silence end and then all of this happen. But even leaving that aside,
yeah,
I was just like, man, Mike Johnson is not commanding respect. And I was like, what happens if they just don't shut up?
Yeah.
Like, what happens?
Nobody's going to stop them.
Can't bring the house into order.
I mean, eventually, I guess they're going to call in the National fucking Guard.
I guess.
They're right there.
It was crazy because it felt like, well, I don't know what you're going to do other than tackle somebody. Like, this doesn't seem like anybody is really... it doesn't feel like lead.
No. You know? I mean, I don't know. Fucking Palpatine dissolved the Senate. Who fucking knows what's going on now?
Mm.
Lord knows what could happen, right? Shit's crazy.
Do you think Lauren Boebert is Jar Jar?
Is she the one who's going to usher in a never-ending dark side empire?
Mm.
Probably. So, yeah, I think that means it's she's Jar Jar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Alex is obviously distraught about losing a friend.
Sure.
And that's why he's continuing to talk about how he's going to just steal his skin.
Great.
And I didn't announce this through bravado or to act tough. I publicly said I don't do a ton of public speaking engagements because I know I can do more digitally. And his work was important. It had to be done at the colleges. And I admired him for his courage and said that. I said, he's doing that job. He's got that lane. If he wasn't doing it, I'd be doing it. They won't even let me on the colleges. They riot so bad we tried. But I now have a responsibility, and so do all of you, to peacefully speak at city councils, county commissions, school boards, colleges. I don't care if it's 100 people or 1,000. All of you have to go out and speak out on the street corners, at church, everywhere, because this is an attempt at intimidation and to shut down our access to speech and a chilling effect. So I'm getting all these calls. When are you doing it? Where are you going? I've got to get it organized. I've got to talk to different groups that sponsor it. People can reach out to me that do this. I will go with Turning Point. And I'm going to go out there, and I'm not going to wear a bulletproof vest. I'm going to do a nationwide tour because that's what this is about. It's not about sticking your head in the tiger's mouth just to act tough. We don't have a choice. And we have to lead by example here. Now, I'll tell you this. If I walk out somewhere and there's 3,000 people, and the police haven't stuck people on the roofs, you know there's a stand down by their managers that told them not to. And if I walk out and I see nobody on the roofs, well, you know, then I'm going to come out and point that out and be looking for it. And I'll be like, there's a shooter. There's a shooter. All right. It was a setup. Seriously. That's what it's because I'll be waiting. I'll be watching when I'm speaking. Oh, there's the shooter right there. All right. Get yourself a good shot there, big man. Now's the time. I'm going to come out of the Batcave into the third dimension. I come out when they got lockdowns going. They're shutting down the parks and the bridges and the restaurants. I come out when I'm at January 6th trying to stop people going to the building. I come out when I'm needed at key points, and I'm coming out of the cave.
You can kind of see the scripting of what Alex wants to do here. He's making it a little too obvious that he wants to go out and pretend that someone is trying to shoot at him. And it feels like it's mostly rooted in him being jealous of the attention that Kirk is getting.
Yeah, 100%.
This is still less than 24 hours after Kirk got shot. And Alex is already making himself the hero of the story and imagining getting Kirk's old company to fund his college tour.
Yep.
This is disgusting stuff, just on a human level.
I mean, one of the simple things to recognize about saying something like, I'll go do this thing because I'm better than him and I won't get shot, implies that it's his fault.
Mm.
You know, it implies that if Charlie Kirk weren't Charlie Kirk and were instead Alex Jones, somehow this never would have happened.
Well, I mean, certainly they weren't watching the rooftops.
Right? Just by virtue of the greatness of Alex Jones, if you insert him into any natural disaster, it will not have occurred.
Sure.
Because he's so great.
Yeah. If Trump were president, no wars would have ever started. And right? If Alex were running everything, there would be never any security lapses. Of
right.
No one would ever throw coffee on him or anything.
But this, of course, he doesn't care, requires him to also say that other people deserve what they get because they are not as great as me.
Eh, that's a side implication, maybe.
Yeah.
So when Alex is talking about the times that he comes out of the cave, he wants the image to be that when shit gets serious, he takes to the streets. But the reality is a little bit different. When easy attention is available, Alex is willing to leave the studio. That's all this is. When the COVID restrictions are starting, Alex could make a video being a huge rebel by going to Barton Springs for a swim. He could pretend to be a revolutionary by yelling at an underpaid employee somewhere who was wearing a mask. It was an attention and publicity feeding frenzy because people were scared and desperate for anyone who was projecting confidence. When Alex gets more engaged with the world outside his studio, it's either because he's desperate or because he sees a huge opportunity to put in minimal effort and gain big amounts of attention. Right now, it's probably both.
Yeah.
And, yeah, who cares if you're exploiting your dead friend to do it?
Oh, man. I mean, at least he really didn't care. / didn't like Charlie Kirk, right? Mm. Isn't that what we're all happy about? At least Alex isn't actually grieving the loss of a friend.
Yeah,
because
I guess
he didn't like that person.
I guess right? I guess it would really throw me for a loop if he was distraught.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at least this comports with my image of who I think this shithead is.
Yeah, it is so strange. It is so strange because I understand why people think the way they do. I understand why they do the things that they do, but I don't understand how you could fire somebody for being like, hey, man, this guy sucks, and not also understand that Alex is saying far worse things about him mm-hmm. through what he's saying. You know what I mean? Like, I understand it's not explicitly Charlie Kirk sucks, but the around this.
Yeah, I think that there's a, you know, there's a debatable, like, better or worse hierarchy
sure.
to I think it's great he's dead, and I'm going to profit off his death.
Right, exactly.
Those two are both horrible things to say about someone after they die.
I'm not saying that they're great, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying if I'm looking at the two of them, I'm going, one of those is a person getting out some stuff, and the other one is a person who's going to destroy human society.
I think I would rather somebody dance on my grave than monetize my grave.
Right.
I think. Although I don't know if I
care. I mean, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just in theory, I think that dancing on it would be less distasteful.
Yeah, you know, what the dance ends. Who knows when the monetization ends? It's a business. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to end.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to go on forever.
And dancing is like a fun process. Maybe you get something out
Maybe
of it.
Maybe you get something out of it.
You know?
Yeah. Or at least,
not,
you know?
It's not a capitalist enterprise.
And I get to fight back. Now your shoes are muddy. Maybe you need new shoes. See? Mm. We all lose.
Maybe you need a new shirt.
Mm.
Alex might have one for you.
Uh-oh.
Not like I'm reclusive. I just can digitally sit here and reach so many people on 400-plus radio stations, hundreds of TV and cable stations, massive viewers on Rumble, Infowars.com/show, Exit Relox Jones. So I've strategically, you know, as a general in this fight, I've been parading around right at the front line. I'm in a forward bunker up at the front line. But now this is a time to be George Washington and lay it on Providence and get out there. In fact, I'm excited to do it. Now's the time to exercise our freedom. Now's the time to show courage in the face of intimidation. Now's the time to let these bullies know we're all Charlie Kirk now.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm going to put a T-shirt out. It's like a
no.
black shirt.
No.
With red, white, and blue. Kind of like the Infowars
no.
red, white, and blue shirt that Rob's wearing. I haven't seen that shirt. That's badass. It's the best shirt I've seen. Rob, come in here if you can. Stand for the camera. People can see the shirt. I want one that says we are all Charlie Kirk now. And I want everybody put it out. Put out your own.
You might notice that Alex definitely isn't going to put out a Charlie Kirk memorial T-shirt and give the proceeds to Kirk's family. It's a nice thought to want to honor his memory, but Alex is also going to be sure he makes a buck off it.
Yeah.
I know I say this a lot and make a big point of this, but this guy's a fucking piece of shit. His supposed friend died less than a day ago,
yeah.
and he's brainstorming on camera ways that it can be profitable for him.
Yep.
This is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so perfect an encapsulation, the juxtaposition of somebody getting fired from fucking CNBC for saying something mild, like, maybe we shouldn't yell, let's go kill each other all fucking day.
Violent begets violence.
Right,
violent
right.
Words and thoughts become action.
But you know what? They would have been fine with this. Mm-hmm. They would have been fine with this because this is about making money.
Yep.
This is about hurting anybody's feelings. This is not about being mean. This, sure, we suck the bones of him dry and let his family starve to death. Yeah, but this is about making money, buddy.
Well, I think the essential piece of this is that Alex is like, Charlie was a fucking shithead opportunist sales guy. He made a lot of money. His yep. family's fine.
Yep.
I can try and get a piece of this. I can wet my beak here.
No better way to honor his memory than yes. to steal from his memory.
It's fucked up.
It is the circle of life.
I see this and I'm just like, I feel like this level of not treating each other like people
yeah.
is, I'm glad that I don't feel like this.
Yeah.
And I dread the idea of running into someone who does.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting to think that maybe this whole conservative ecosphere is congealed around the only people who could possibly behave the way that they do.
It could be self-selecting
yeah,
in a
right?
way.
Like yeah. it's just
you're just the people who can act like this
yep.
and it's an unfortunately profitable way to act.
Yep.
In the same way that, you know, being a con person was yeah. profitable. That's why people did it.
They did it all the time. It was yeah. free. Yeah. yeah.
Hmm. So turns out there was some advance warning, advance knowledge. You know, we heard about the trans news networks.
Right, 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 right. Local news is dying, but I'm glad that trans news locally is still strong.
Yeah, so Alex touches on some advance notice stuff.
I want to get to Trump's statement here, but I want to show you something first, okay? Now, Grok confirmed this. I went and looked it up and confirmed it. I saw this last night, and I wanted to wait and check. And a whole bunch of corporate publications, a full day before Charlie was shot, put out articles saying Charlie Kirk was shot and killed. But just the headline.
Ah. So if I were Alex, I'd be fucking embarrassed by this. For one thing, he said that Grok had confirmed this news, which is really, really sad.
Ugh.
But more importantly, we do this every time there's a tragedy that Alex can exploit. There's always some timestamp that mysteriously shows someone reporting on a thing before it happened. Some idiot will post something like this on social media every time something happens, and Alex will report it as fact each time, and he's always wrong. AI bots were wrong about so much in the wake of the shooting, and Grok was even telling people that the video of Kirk being shot was fake and that he was okay for a while.
Great.
Those tools aren't meant to determine truth. They just scrape information from places that the person running them tells them to get it from. If Elon Musk is feeding his robot all the dumb shit people post on Twitter and who knows what other disreputable message boards, it's going to just regurgitate that information. It's not confirmatory.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that value. And the fact that Alex is saying Grok confirmed this, it just shows how much he's given up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of these people have the conception of AI in a like more imagery framework, right? So they view the internet, imagine the internet as a big landscape, right? Then you have the AI, which is like a person, like a concierge.
Yes.
Who's like, oh,
ask
let
Jeeves.
Me help. But what it really is just all of the internet squished into a square. And you're trying to find the even smaller part from the square, and that doesn't help you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help you at all. It's just a square.
Yeah, and it's like making a search engine talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's making it conversational because you don't want to read multiple things.
Right.
And great, that you found a shortcut for that, but it's inconsistent and you're going to get bad results. The irony is that Alex's view of what this stuff is
yeah.
is just it's the same as the AI con people
yeah.
who are trying to treat it like it's a god of some sort. He thinks it's an oracle.
The same thing happened at the very dawn of search engines, whenever you would have like Ask Jeeves and it would be like, here, just ask it a question.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And that was even personified.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
the same.
It's the same shit.
And yeah. So I guess most of this is about there was a AI created, I think, book about Charlie's assassination. Probably someone just put in a prompt and it spit out a book. And it was on Amazon and they had the release date wrong. And so it had said that it was released on the 9th, but it was released on the 10th.
So an AI-generated shit book was then picked up with a poor date by another AI-generated shit poster to then do the thing, and then that turned into a circle jerk of AI bots releasing all this shit.
That's my understanding of what happened, yeah.
We should really not be doing any of this.
Yeah. It's usually, oftentimes what happens is that there will be like a Facebook group or something like that has, it predates the event.
Right.
But it had changed its name or something like that.
Right.
It was a pre-existing group and someone trolled people with that.
Right.
But this appears to be some sort of just weird glitch thing.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Trump has announced that he is going to honor Charlie Kirk's memory.
Okay.
Unlike Alex, who is exploiting.
Hmm.
This is just now breaking. President Trump announces he is awarding Charlie Kirk a posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom. We're all Charlie Kirk now. This is going to backfire, but they're going for it.
Good luck selling that shirt. So I feel like I could be a dick about this and say that Kirk shouldn't get this medal, but honestly, who cares? Here's a list of some of the people that Obama gave one of those things to.
Right?
Lorne Michaels, Michael Jordan, Tom Hanks, George H.W. Bush, and Gloria Estefan.
Why not?
It's a nice honor for people to be given, and, you know, there's a lot of very deserving people who have been important figures.
Sure.
But it's also kind of a way for presidents to hang out with their favorite celebrities.
Yeah.
And in his first term, Trump seemed to maybe give it to a disproportionate number of golfers.
Huh. Weird.
But, you know.
Weird.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's just kind
Did they play a round of golf together?
I don't know.
Strange.
It's just kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that there are other medals and stuff that would be far more distasteful for someone to get. This is just kind of like, who cares?
No, it all makes sense. And then but if you look at medals as a whole throughout time, when governments give them, not good. Not good.
I mean, I was scrolling through the list of recipients, and you know, like General Wesley Clark got one back in the Clinton administration.
Yeah,
and I think that it might cheapen his feelings about it for someone like Charlie Kirk to get one, but I don't care. It's not that big a deal how Wesley Clark feels about his medals.
I mean, I don't. I understand that it's like, here's the difference, right? It's a medal, and I get that you have a little thing right there, and I get that it goes on a list. There.
Wait. You're imagining it's like a little thing you pin to your
lapel? No. I mean,
that's,
you know,
the
what I
motion
mean.
That you made.
Right. But I was just, you know, whatever. You get the thing. But to me, it's identical to just getting a regular picture with the president, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of, it's a special meet and greet. But sure.
Yeah. You know,
it's exclusive company in a way, but
you know,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
So Alex is off on his missions.
Sure.
And he talks about how he thinks that shit's going to work out.
I bet it is.
The Supreme Court's going to come in and help him.
I just want listeners to remember something. I didn't even talk about our case being at the Supreme Court, it being all over the news yesterday, because this Russia escalation with the drones, looks like a false flag, was so big, and then this happened. But even mainstream media goes, wow, Jones was found guilty by judges. Looks like it wasn't fair. Oh, my God. Looks like the Supreme Court's going to take it. Didn't even get to that. Because we're busy covering the other big issues for everybody else out there. But remember, we need your prayers, we need your support, and we need you to financially go to thealexandstore.com, because I am, again, right on the edge of the red. I've got 7 lawyers, top ones, suing the hell out of the Democrats, the law firms, deposing them, finding all the stuff they did. It's been referred to the Justice Department. The Justice Department is investigating it, I can tell you that. And I'm going to stop right there, but that's what I'm going to be gone the next few days. It's part of my mission I'm on. But I'll be on air, you know, popping in. The point is I got swatted last night. I don't make a big deal about it. It's happened so many times. They just come by and make sure everything's okay. But I'm obviously a target just like Kirk. Just understand, we're doing this because, not because we hate the globalists, but because we love America and our families. We don't fight because we hate the enemy. We fight because we love what we're defending. That said, this isn't a game. And you've heard me predict, they're gearing up for the Podesta plan to launch mass civil unrest and political assassinations. Next, they're going to hit their own people in a false flag.
Oh, so you're fine then. If next is they're going to false flag their own people, then Alex is safe.
So now, okay, wait, why? What?
Well, because I guess it wouldn't be believable to, you know, do two false flags in the same direction. You kind of got to ping pong back and forth.
Right.
You know?
Right. Boy, that sounds like a risky line of work.
Well, let me just explain. Alex is probably convinced that there's going to be some retaliatory violence against the left.
That would make sense.
And he's preemptively trying to explain it within his framework of this stupid Podesta plan garbage.
Yep.
And he wants your money. The Supreme Court already declined to take this case like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what other, like, I don't know if you can just keep badgering the Supreme Court. Can you keep asking them to hear a case?
I don't know.
I guess maybe. But yeah, Alex thinks that he's going to be able to reignite this flame.
Yeah.
And going to DC to talk to Ed Martin is a big part of trying to sell that. And failing that, Ed Martin is somebody who's willing to talk to Alex.
Yeah.
Alex did post a photo on Twitter of him with Ed Martin.
Right.
So, like, this gives the air of legitimacy to his, like, I'm still in a fight.
I'm not giving up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's as close as he's going to get to, like, actually hanging out with Trump. So, like, I kind of get the strategic move.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the Supreme Court's going to decide to hear this, but, boy, you're making it look like you're trying.
Really, really are. I mean, and you never know. Maybe the Supreme Court goes on an ayahuasca retreat and they go, wouldn't it be hilarious if, and that's what happens.
I have no faith in the Supreme Court, or at least greatly diminished.
Sure.
But just based on the fact that they've already declined to hear this.
Right.
It makes me think, like, what could have changed?
Right.
Since 6 months ago?
No.
Nothing.
No.
If it wasn't a First Amendment issue, then it's not now.
Right.
And as cynical as I can be about these courts.
Yeah.
I still think just the fact that they didn't hear it before means there's probably not traction now.
Yeah. I mean, this would be the level of a Supreme Court justice meeting going, well, let's just burn it all down then. Mm. You know, like the whole law. It's whatever I fucking feel like on whatever day we're talking.
Yeah.
That's where we're at in terms of if they take this case.
Gorsuch is passing the blunt from Squee.
Exactly.
And he's like, hey, man, wouldn't it be funny if we did
it? It would have to be that level of fucking, let's just go wacky with it, you know? Ugh.
So we'll see what happens with all of this stuff. Chase filling in for a bit. So,
man, I hope next year he is sole owner and operator of InfoWars.
And why not just make an AI Alex Jones?
Absolutely. He's already done it.
He has.
He's already done it.
Yes.
He's already done it.
He's
just fucking downsize. Lower your overhead.
Get rid of the expensive talent. Keep the talent.
Absolutely.
Because it's completely replicatable by AI.
It's identical. You could not recreate a person, but an AI could be Alex Jones in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Yep.
God, that would be so fucking funny.
Yeah.
If Alex is like the biggest example of someone who AI takes their job.
Yep.
If he ends up like a drunk just on the street in Austin yelling about how the globalists and Chase took his job.
Yep. It would be, I don't know. I think we would have to make a monument to it.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to build a monument to the time Alex got replaced by AI.
Yeah.
It would be.
And you and I would have then witnessed an amazing story.
Yeah.
If that ends up happening.
Yep.
God, I hope that happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll check in, see if there's any progress on that front. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgeright.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.